Here. Those just went out. I don't think anybody hit the switch, so yeah, we'll see how we go. Welcome, everybody. If you're here visiting with us for the first time or a couple times, we're really glad that you're here. After we have a bit of a talk here, we're going to have a little break. Our kids get up and give us... Nice. Hold on. Oh, we're back on. Cool. Our kids give us a little rendition. They have a few songs that they sing, and we try to sing along with them. It's really great. They're really, you will see, they are very encouraged by it. And then after that, we have a study, and we'll talk about what we talk about here in the sermon. If you have questions, you can ask them. If you think I've said some things that are ridiculous, you can tell Paul, because he's leading the study. I'll be in the back. You can talk to me later. But this morning, have you ever heard this question? Have you ever heard this phrase, I guess? If God wrote a book, wouldn't you want to read that book? Like, have you ever heard that? Some people are like, no. Well, you've heard it. There you go. It's yours. You can take that with you. I actually think it's a really good entrance to talk to people about Jesus. If there was a claim that God wrote a series of books, wouldn't those be the one you'd want to dig into? Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, a bunch of other, like, millions of... That'd be the book you'd want to check out, right? In a similar way, what we're going to deal with this morning, if Jesus left imprints and designs for his church, wouldn't we want to look at those? Wouldn't those want to be the designs that we follow as a group of people here? So that's the question that we'll get into. Let's talk about that. If you think about the church, what comes to your mind? When the word church comes up, what do you think about? I didn't even pay attention a lot when I was a kid in church. I did not like going to church, right? But I remember this. Here's the church. You know, Wayne's like, yeah, here's the steeple. And then what do you do? I even got it wrong. I wasn't even listening then. And then you turn it up and inside other people that I'm just going to go and tell you that's rubbish. Right? I knew it then. No. That's not what God talks about. The church is people. The church are those who have been saved. And we'll get into that. If you look at Acts 2:47, it says that God was adding daily to the church who? Those who were being saved. What makes up the church? Not this, not that. That's the church. It's those who were being saved. And if you look at the verses just prior to that in Acts 2:36, right on down to 47, it describes who was being saved. Peter gives this message about Jesus, that he was Lord and Messiah, that if they were willing to turn their lives to him, that they could be saved. They would need to repent. We call that repentance. Changing your mind towards God. Changing your life towards him. They were to be immersed into water for the forgiveness of their sins, and they would receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And right after that, Peter says, man, be saved from this perverse generation. And it says, that day, 3,000 people were added. They responded to the message by repenting, turning their lives over to God, being immersed into water to receive the forgiveness of anything and everything that they've ever done. And here's the key point here. Remember what they said. What should we do? And what does Peter respond through the mouth and the voice of God? Receive a gift. You can't do anything to achieve this. There's no sacrifice you can take to the temple to cover this sin, to cover your sins. Receive the gift of Jesus Christ by repenting, being immersed into him, and you'll receive all the forgiveness. And you'll receive God. God will come dwell with you. He'll come live with you. That's beautiful, right? That's who is being saved. That's who is making up the church. So we belong to God's church. If you're here this morning and that's something that you've participated in, you are God's church. It's not the place we meet. It's not the whatever on the walls, the steeple. It's the people, right? And I'd encourage you today, if that's not something you've participated in, be added to God's church. He will add you to his church. There's millions and millions of Christians worldwide. We just happen to be a couple people meeting here, trying to follow God, trying to get in the scriptures, learn about him. There are more sermons coming weeks ahead for that, so we won't deal with that now. But I want us to place an emphasis on this before we really get into it. We read in the scriptures about people gathering then together. There's these people who are being saved, added to God's church, but then you read about there's this group in Corinth. That's the letter to the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There's a group in Thessalonica. They're meeting together. They're sharing time together. They're eating the Lord's Supper together. They're thinking about Christians in other places and helping them. They're thinking about their community around them and impacting them. There's a church in Jerusalem. There's a church in Antioch. There's a church in Smyrna. There's all these groups of God's saved people gathering. That's called church. That's called church as well. And I guess the biggest thing and the reason I want to spend some time this morning doing that is sometimes we just think church is something different than that. And this morning as we look at Jesus' designs for his church, when we say church, I want everybody here to think to themselves, you can say it out loud, I don't care, it doesn't bother me. That's me. I've been saved. God saved me. He's added me to his church. I've received a gift. That's me. When Jesus starts talking about church, think, that's me. Cool. And think, that's us. Good? All right. Good. We're good. All right. We're going to go on. First point. So is this group here, this church here, who are we? Number one, we're saved. We're God's people. Not by any great things that we've done or accomplished. It's because of God's gift. We've just established that. But I just want to take a quick moment. I thought about this and I wrote these down because it's something that I've been thinking about a lot. I've been praying about a lot. I know a lot of you have too. And sometimes it's hard to say, but I'm going to say some of these things. This is a group of people here. I'm going to read this. I don't normally read, but I'm going to read some of this. This is a group of people here as we look around the room, and you can just do that. Just look at people beside you really quick. If you're a visitor, this might get really weird, but they're nice. Don't worry. They won't bite your head. Just look at people. Don't all turn that way because you'll just look at the back of their heads. This is a group of people that you're sitting around that are growing in service to God, that care about the Lord. They care about the people around them, and they're trying. They're doing their very best. There are people in this room who are supporting people in other places in this world financially and with their time that most of us would not dare to step foot in. You may not know that, but there's a lot of people in this room who are very concerned about things going on in other parts of this world with other Christians. That's a beautiful thing. We need to be thankful for that. We do that here as a congregation collectively together. We're made up of people who are learning and growing and learning and growing. Here's some things that I think we've grown in. We've grown in forgiveness. We've grown in forgiveness. We're growing in patience with one another. We're growing in understanding with one another. And recently we've had to grow in discipline. And that's not been fun, but it's good. It's tough, but we're growing in that. We're made up of God's people who are seriously struggling with some issues right now. If you looked around that room again, when they smile at you, sometimes behind that smile is, I got some junk going on in my life and it's really tough. I can smile up here all day long. I got tons of junk going on in my life. And it's hard. So we're people who have issues. We struggle with things. And because of that, if you look around this room, we're made up of people who need God's help. And we need the help of our brethren. We need the help of people in this room who now you've probably known for 6 years, 10 years, 20 years. We still need to help each other. We're made up of God's people who are fighting against temptation, right? We will fight against temptation. There might be struggles and temptations of the people that make up this church that you just have no idea about. Think about them. Pray for them. Get to know them. Get to know their temptations. Help them. We're made up of God's people who disagree. Amen? Yeah, everybody's like, yeah. Like we do disagree sometimes. That's not uncommon. Just read the Bible. read about the New Testament churches. They had all kind of disagreements. But we're also learning to grow in that way on how we come to reconcile those disagreements together. And I'm thankful for that. I think a big part of that is this other thing. We're a congregation here that's blessed by generational faithfulness. We've lost some of those people in the previous years. But there's a lot of people here who have been blessed by their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents in the Lord, and that is something to be honored. That's something to be thankful for. And we are now, if you look around the room, here's the next one. How many kids are floating around this congregation? Like if you came through the door, they were handing out leaflets. That's awesome. That's a responsibility that we have. That's a blessing, right? And think about what they can see. If we continue to be faithful to Jesus, if we continue, they can get to see the church working and growing and living and talking to each other. That's awesome. I'm thankful for that. We're made up of God's people who are young and old and both important. We're made up of men and women and so on. You could just keep going. Those are a few ones I thought about. We're church. We're church. So here are the things that we're going to focus on here as this local group this morning. Two things. God's people, God's design for church was this. He started the church with people who had issues. He started the church with people who had sin problems, who were willing to humble themselves and turn to him. That's design number one. We'll learn some things from that. Number two, God's design for church is that we grow, that we don't remain stagnant, but that we grow in God. So let's get into the first one. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles with you, turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 11. Listen to the words that God gives to the church here at Corinth. Verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" These are, again, he's writing to people who had already become Christians. They had already repented and been immersed into Jesus and had started this life growing with God, God coming to live with them. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters or adulterers or people who practice homosexuality or thieves or greedy or drunkards or revilers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And listen to what he says in verse 11. "And such were some of you. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God." How thankful are they? "Of such were some of you." In Corinth, y'all used to practice homosexuality, y'all used to be drunkards, you used to steal from folks. That's what he says to them. He says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God." Should we say it here? "Of such were some of us." Right? That's us. And if you didn't make this list, good on you. Fair enough. There's plenty more. Right? Romans chapter 1, that'll get you. Right? Romans chapter 1 says like, oh, maybe you've been unloving, unmerciful, unkind. Did y'all make the list now? We were all there. And the fact is, the only difference is that God, from that point when we were willing to humble ourselves and turn and repent, be immersed into Jesus, receive God's forgiveness in His Spirit, He's then working. He's then the one regenerating us. He's the one washing us. But we need not forget that God starts His church with people who have sin issues. Not religious elite, not people who know the Bible back and forth, right? People who were willing to turn from their sin. But they had issues. That should make an impact on us on two ways. How we see each other, right? How are we growing? There might be still problems there that we need to help each other with. And who are we talking to? Who are we looking at to say, man, that guy, he needs the gospel. That girl, boy, she could use the gospel. Should be everybody. That's who God desires to be saved. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Colossae in Colossians 1, 21 to 23. He says, "And you, the church at Colossae, you were once alienated and hostile in your mind, doing evil deeds. He's now reconciled in the body of his flesh by his death." Once alienated, once hostile, but he's now reconciled in the body of his flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. He says, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which Paul became a minister. What does he say? It's the same combination here. You were once evil in your deeds. You were once hostile against God. But now what? He's reconciled you. He's made you right. But let's not forget, they didn't come into this relationship with Jesus on their own merits, did they? No. They had issues. They had sin problems. What was the difference between them and other people in Colossae or in Corinth or in Jerusalem? They were willing to admit, I don't have it all figured out. Yep, I've sinned against God. I've brought some pain to this earth. I brought suffering to this earth. I need to be forgiven. And they were willing to humble themselves before God, and he gave them grace. That's pretty awesome. Jesus makes of his church who people with people who had issues with sin. That's the way he started it. That's the way he's doing it. Everybody's welcome, not just the rich, not just the poor. Everybody. Everybody's welcome. We all need salvation. Have you ever heard this? I've said this at times. Have you ever met somebody and you go, man, all that guy or all that girl needs is Jesus. I mean, look at them. They're a pretty good person. Like, they're great. Actually, if I line them up next to me and like being good, they're a lot better than them. I know me. Have you ever thought that way? Have you ever seen, you may know people like that. I know people like that right now. And I've caught myself saying and like thinking that. That's not Jesus' design. That person, just like you, or just like the people in Corinth who were murderers, they need Jesus just as much. We've got to get that out of our brains, because it changes the way that we see ourselves. If we fall to temptation, if we stumble, and we think that way, it's just putting it back on us, and it needs to be on God. When I sin, I need forgiveness. When I stumble and I fall, I need God to pull me back up. And so do they. So do they. Preach the gospel to them. Talk to them about their lives and grace and forgiveness and turning from sin. They've got some. They've got some. They'll hear the message. Let's look at point number two. The church grows. So our first point was God makes the church of people who had sin issues that were willing to turn. The second thing we're looking at is the church that Jesus built, right? Our design that we'll try to follow here is that we grow. The church grows together through the words of Jesus, through the words of Jesus, and God provides that growth. Check out Titus chapter 2. If you got your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 2. It's near the back, just after Timothy. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Listen to the instructions God gives Titus here. He was working with a church and trying to help them grow. He says in verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Training us," this is very important, "training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." And then Paul tells Titus, "I want you to declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let nobody disregard you." That's why we're talking about here today. We need to hear this. The group of Christians here, the people who are saved, that God has added to his church, we need to grow. And what are the things here? The salvation's for everybody. But what are the things here that he is actually describing their growth being in? Renouncing ungodliness, renouncing worldly passions, you know, figuring out good and evil. Like, learn how to use your body for good and evil, discern between good and evil. Living self-controlled and upright godly lives in our culture. Amen? Yes. Like, upright godly lives in our culture is needed. We've got to grow into that. We've got to figure out how, when we leave here and we go out in the world, like, I don't expect anybody to just huddle down here and hang out and wait for Jesus to come back. That's not a good idea, right? And don't do it up in the hills, although it would be much prettier. Like, don't do it there. We're going out into the world. Paul's going to cover that in the discussion for the Bible study. We're going out in our lives to show people what the culture is supposed to be as a human, what God desires for them in their lives by the way that we treat them and the words that we say to them and preaching the gospel to them. But the growth that he's talking about is that. It's that, and God will provide that growth. And here's really the idea. Think about this. If we devote ourselves here today, if you said to yourself, here's the things that I'm going to devote myself to that Jesus Christ is about, and that is listening to God, that's talking to God, and growing together with my brethren. That's not an all-inclusive list, but it encapsulates a lot. God can grow you. If you're willing to get into this thing that God describes as him speaking, him breathing out, if you're willing to get into that and listen to what God has to say, He will grow you. It's not an option. If you're willing to talk to God in what we call prayer and speak with Him and talk to Him about the things going on in your life, the things that you're struggling with, God will grow you. It's not an option. He promises it, actually. If you're willing to continue to meet here like this and throughout the week with other people and talk about the things that are going on in your life spiritually, God says, I'll grow you. And He'll grow you in these ways. He'll grow you in love and in joy and patience and self-control, long-suffering. Like, He'll grow you in so many beautiful ways. Listen here what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 to 9. And the church at Corinth, it says this. Paul writes, he says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you milk, not solid food. You weren't ready for it. And even now, you're not ready. You're still of the flesh. For there's jealousy and strife among you. Are you not of the flesh and behaving in like a humanly way? One says this, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not just being merely human? What then is Apollos? What's Paul? We're just servants whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the growth? God did. God gave the growth. So neither he who plants or waters is anything. Paul or Apollos, we're nothing. We're one. He who plants and waters are one, but only God gives the growth. Each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. What is he saying to this church? What was the reason for them that they couldn't grow? It wasn't God's desire, right? God desires to grow them. What was holding them back from truly growing? They hadn't even gotten this yet. They hadn't gotten it yet. It wasn't about memorizing 1 Corinthians because it hadn't been written. You with me? It wasn't that. What was holding them back from truly growing? Their drama, jealousy, strife among them. One guy's like, ooh, I really like this guy when he talks. No, this guy preached the gospel to me. He's really cool. Oh, no, we're over here, and we're just dividing. Is Christ divided? No, he is not. The emphasis was being put in the wrong place. It was being put on people and not God. And he says, hey, you're acting merely human. What does that tell us about those who have been saved? Sorry, I keep doing the people. What does that tell us about those who are saved? We are not merely human. Let that sink in, what God's saying here. We are people who God has said, I'm going to come tabernacle with you. John chapter 1, it says God dwelt among people. He tabernacled. Man, he's coming to live inside of you. He is coming to help you through reading, through listening to him, through praying to him. We are not merely human. So he's saying, if we're going to act as mere humans, we cannot grow. In God's church, saved, getting messages, but still just infants. Let's listen to that. Let's try to take something home from that. This is John 15, and this will explain the nasty plants. One nasty plant. John 15, 1 to 5. Y'all are judging my plant right now. I can see it. I can see it in your eye. That's okay. Well, it's an example. Okay, John 15, 1 to 5. Listen to what Jesus says about growth, for people growing. John 15, it says, Jesus says, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Jesus then says, abide in me and I in you. Remain in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the vine, we can do nothing. But if we remain in Jesus, what does he promise us here? You'll bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. You will grow. It will happen. God desires to grow us. God desires to grow us. Remaining stagnant is actually not an option. Have you ever thought about that? He says, the branches that don't bear fruit, if they're not going to grow, what does he say? Yeah, Glenn just went like that. Like, just he cuts it away. I'd encourage you to remain in Jesus. I'd encourage you to remember to speak with him, to talk to God, and to listen to what he has to say by reading his words. I would also continue to say, keep meeting with other of God's people. That's a part of his design. If you remove one of those, Jesus promised that you can't bear fruit, right? He would describe it in another way in Corinthians. He would say, can the eye say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. Can I say to Ryan, I'm good, man. Have a good one. Not concerned about you. I am concerned. I love you, man. We can't do that. I can't very well say, I'm not really about reading. I don't like reading. How are you going to hear God? You may struggle. Hey, let's get together. We can read together. We can listen to it. There's all kinds of ways to do that now. But he promises to grow and salvation in Jesus. All right, so let's look at these gnarly plants. I'm gonna let you decide. Can everybody see the plant? If you didn't see it on the way in, can you see this guy? In the back here, there's a little growth. It's struggling. It's hanging on here. Okay. Yeah, I'll pick it up. This is gonna hurt. Oh. You see that? Check that one out. Little growth on the backside. A little bit. Some of you people who are planters, people with hand growth, maybe you're like,
that's solid.
Yeah. I promise you that ain't salvageable. All right, see this guy?
Oh, this is my golden bear. Here we go. Look at that.
Look at the roots coming out of the bottom. Man, it's ready to grow even more. I'll stop this growth. Which one of these got water and sunlight? You sure? How can you tell? Why are you judging this plant? Don't judge this plant. How can you tell? There's leaves. If you leave it long enough, there's these little fruits that come off and you make jam out of them. It's lily pilly jam. It's really bitter, but it's nice. This one actually was taken up from where it was. It was actually doing really great. It was one with a bunch of other lavender plants. It was along the side of my house and I tried to replant it. Have you ever met Eddie Legg? He can grow things. I do can grow anything you want. There ain't a green thumb between anybody in my family, right? So I tried to replant it, and I tried to give it water, but I didn't pay as much attention to this one. I didn't give it water in the sunlight that it actually really needed, but this guy I paid for. Right? This one's been paid for, and so it cost me something. And so I fed it some water every day. I'm out there at night sometimes, just like, hey, Melissa's like sometimes I'm out at night. Just in case, just give it a little bit of water, and it's doing all right. Think about that concept. Did I actually grow that plant? No. I can't cause a plant to grow. What did I give it? The things it needed to grow. Water and sunlight. We made sure the soil was all right. That gnarly thing. I didn't water it like I should. I didn't put it in the right position to be in. And what is happening to this plant? It's dying. And if I leave it in the conditions that I've been putting it in right now, I'm pretty convinced it's already dead. Melissa disagreed with me. It will die. Look at it. It's already falling stuff off. I just pulled it in here. It's just withering away. If we do not give our souls the water and the sunlight they need by talking with God and listening to him through his word and meeting here together throughout our homes of the week, what is God telling us? We'll die. We can see it in the plants, y'all. We can see it in the things around us. So when God starts talking about it like a body, if you don't feed your body the things that it needs, what's going to happen? It's going to die. I encourage you to please think about this today. How are you remaining and abiding in Jesus? Will He produce fruit in you? He promised He will. Are you continuing to give your body, your lives, your souls, the things that they need to grow? If you do, God will produce fruit. Are we as a church, this is the conclusion, we're done. Are we as a church encouraging each other in this? The time that we're together, the time that we meet, the opportunities that are trying to be provided to people here to grow, are you taking advantage of those? I hope so, right? I hope that and pray that you make meeting here your priority. I hope and pray that you make being here your priority in life. I pray that you just speak to God all through the day, because He'll grow you. Meet with people during the week. Spend time in their homes, get to know them. Disagree with them. Talk with them. Care for them. Love them. God will grow us through that. He already has. He already is right now. Continue in doing that. Yes, sir. Analogy ruined. Like, just, and look, if you guys go to Chaz's house, you listen to him about gardening. There's nothing dead in his yard. Thanks, Chaz. Alright, so here's your invitation today. That was awesome. That's fantastic. Do you want something better for your life? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at your life right now and it looks like that plant, I mean, if you compare your life to what it can be, is something not merely human, turn to God. Repent. If you believe the message about Jesus, this is very important, and you're willing to put your life down, be immersed into Jesus. Make contact with His death and resurrection. Have your sins forgiven. Receive God's Spirit. Why wouldn't you? And grow with God. If you're looking for a place to do that, man, welcome. We don't have it all figured out. We're people with issues, but we're trying. We're trying. I guess the last thing that I wanted to say in regards to this, and I'm done. If you ever want to talk about that, I know that's a hard step to take. I'm just covered in bush, sorry. It's a hard step to take. Sometimes we've got stuff going on in our lives that we don't want to talk about, right? And I know how that feels. I definitely know how that feels. Please speak with somebody about that today. If you don't have anybody to talk to about that, man, I'll talk to you about it. Our pastors here will talk to you about it. You know, they'll pray with you. You don't have to live in a situation where you feel isolated. You don't have to live in a situation where you feel alone. Because if you look around you, like again, there are people here who care about you. And we're not perfect, but we'll try. So if you want to speak about any of these things today, let me know. Okay, thanks for your attention. I appreciate it.